Welcome to Torah Timech on Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ruchama Welcher, and today we'll be studying Koheles Perek Vav, Chapter 6. In this chapter, Koheles continues from his theme in the previous chapter in discussing the limitations in accumulating wealth and just being fixated on increasing one's net worth. He starts by describing a case in Psukim Aleph and Beis of a person who has a lot of wealth but doesn't end up enjoying it. A person who, to whom Hashem has given possessions, wealth, honor, and he doesn't lack anything that he desires. However, Hashem doesn't allow him to enjoy this because a foreign man ends up eating it. So who is this man? Who is this man who ends up eating the other person's lunch, who ends up enjoying his wealth? So there are a few possible explanations. The first possibility is suggested by the Al-Sheikh, that this is talking about a man who dies without heirs, and his widow inherits his money and remarries a second husband. So all the money that this person worked so hard to accumulate in his life ends up going to a complete stranger. And as Koheles says, Zehevel v'chali rahu, this is futility and like an evil disease. He works so hard for it and he gets zero benefit. He doesn't even have the pleasure of knowing that it goes to his children. The Ta'aluma is Chachma suggests another possibility for who this person can be. So he says it's somebody who has money, but then he loses his money, and not only does he lose it, but he sees it go to someone else. He sees someone else profit off his loss. Given that wealth is so transient and the cycle of wealth goes round and round, he loses, but somebody else directly benefits. So say, for example, somebody builds a beautiful house, beautiful interiors, beautiful exteriors, they're wealthy, they enjoy their money, but then they fall into hard times and their creditor ends up taking their house from them. And he walks past this house every day and he sees his creditor enjoying this magnificent house that he built, that he worked so hard to put together, the house that he enjoyed so much. So not only has he lost his house, but his creditor now is benefiting from his loss. And as Koheles says, this is Hevel v'cholira, it's especially bad because if you lose something, you forget it over time and you come to terms with loss. But this man, he constantly has his loss in his face, which is so especially devastating. And again, this idea reflects the concept that wealth in this world is very limited and very transient, and you never know what's going to happen with the wheel of fortune turning. And then a third possibility of this person who has lots of wealth but another person enjoys it is suggested by Rashi. And Rashi says that this is someone who never enjoys his money because he's never satisfied with what he has. It's not that he doesn't have it, it's he has it, but he isn't satisfied, so he never enjoys it. And the ish nochriach leno, the other person, that's that he sees other people having things that he thinks he should have. They should be mine. I'm just as clever, I'm just as talented, I'm just as capable, I'm just as worthy. Why is it that he gets to go on a Pesach program every year while I'm just stuck at home? So to plug this explanation into the words of the Pasuk, you have a person whom Hashem has given so much to, so much bracha, so much goodness, so much abundance, but he doesn't enjoy any of it. Why doesn't he enjoy any of it? Because ish nochriach leno, because he looks at the other person and he sees other people enjoying things that he thinks he should have and he can't appreciate what he does have. And this fixation prevents him from enjoying what he actually has, which is such a tragic case. Then in Psukim Gimel through Vav, Koheles discusses another similar case. Im yolid ish meah, if a person has 100 children, v'shanim rabos yichya, and he lives many years, but v'nafsha lo sisba min hatova, his soul is not content with the good. Rashi says he lacks the capacity to enjoy these tremendous brachas that he has, the biggest brachas one can have, longevity and children. He doesn't have the capacity to enjoy it because he isn't happy with his lot. He isn't sameach b'chalko. And not only that, but v'gam kavura lo hosalo, he also doesn't get a burial. And Rashi tells us that this matches the description of Achav, who was a king of Israel in Sefer Melachim. He had tremendous wealth, he had lots of children, but like in the case described in this pasuk, he also wasn't happy with his lot. And he desperately wanted the vineyards of a man called Novos. No matter what he had in terms of the king's wealth, he wanted this particular man's particular vineyard. And Novos refused to give it to him and refused to give it to him. And Achav was miserable. He was sick from the misery, physically sick from the misery of this. And what ended up happening was that he falsified some charges against Novos so he could have him killed and he could seize his property. And his punishment for this and for other things was that he ended up dying without a burial and he was eaten by the dogs. So just like in this pasuk, he had so much, His soul was not satisfied however much he had. He was never content because there was this one thing that he didn't have, and he ended up not being buried. Says Koheles in Posuk Vav, Ve'ilu choyo elef shanim pa'amayim, even if a person were to live 1,000 years twice, even if a person were to live 2,000 years, v'tova lo ro'a, yet he doesn't find contentment. Haloyal makom echad hakol helech, what's the point? We're all going to one place in the end. Meaning, what is the benefit in longevity? What is the benefit in having all those extra years if you don't even enjoy them while you have them? So in both cases discussed in our perek so far, in the first case where a person has a lot of wealth but doesn't enjoy it, in the second case where a person has a lot of children and a very long life but he doesn't enjoy it, in both of these cases, it's not what we have, but it's our attitude and our capacity to enjoy which really determines the course of our life. And the classic example we have of this is Haman, who had everything. He was promoted by the king, he had power, he had wealth, he had children. But he says, Kol zeh einena shoveh li. None of this means anything to me, he said to his wife, so long as I see Mordechai not bowing down to me. I have everybody bowing down to me. But so long as this one person doesn't bow down to me, then I cannot be happy. And this was the beginning of his downfall. And this is really the beginning of anyone's downfall when you look at those things that you don't have and you can't enjoy the things that you do have. And in Pasuk Gimel, Koheles says about such a person, Amarti, I said, Tov mimeno hanofel, the stillborn is better off than him. And Rashi explains that the reason for this is that the stillborn never had expectations. This person had expectations that weren't realized. He had hopes that weren't realized, so he's disappointed. But the stillborn was never disappointed because he never had these expectations. And I think that the implication in this Rashi is that it's really the expectations that are the problem. They are what lead to the disappointment. If you don't have expectations, it's much more difficult to be disappointed. And it's troubling because we live in a society, in a consumer society, that totally drives these expectations and always is pushing us to focus on the things that we don't have. As soon as a person remodels their kitchen, there's another better kitchen that they'll see the next day. One drives out of the showroom with a car and they spot another better, different car. Always being pushed to focus on things that we don't have instead of being satisfied with what we do have. And the result of this is that there's so much unhappiness, even as we're blessed with so much and we have so much collective wealth. Which leads directly into the next psukim, which is part of the reason that we're never happy despite the accumulation of so much wealth and so much materialism, is it's because it's really the wrong currency for us. So the next problem described in psukim through Zion through Tess are about man working so hard to satisfy his physical needs and never being satisfied. Pasuk Zion is such a powerful pasuk. Ko amal ha'adam lefihu. All of man's toil is for his mouth. V'gam ha'nefesh lo timoleh. Yet his wants are never satisfied. His soul is never satisfied. Says the Al-Sheikh, so much of what man works for is just for his mouth. It's just for food. It's this physical, this is representative of a physical, fleeting pleasure. How long does one remember a taste for? However good the food in that restaurant was, how long does one remember the taste? Whilst your soul, which is eternal, doesn't get any satisfaction from this. So it's the wrong currency. We're chasing pleasure and we're chasing satisfaction and we're craving satisfaction, but we're looking for it in all of the wrong places. And the irony is that eating can be a very meaningful experience. The table's compared to a mizbeach, and one elevates one's eating through speaking Torah at a meal and through doing chesed, through inviting other people to share our meal. And in that way, it could potentially be currency for the soul. It could fill our soul. But if the focus is on the mouth, if it's kol amal ha'adam lepiho, if it's just to fulfill one's physical cravings, then we'll never truly be satisfied. Which leads Koheles to lament in Pasuk Ches, ki ma yoter lechacham min haksil. So in that case, what advantage does the wise person have over the fool? If a wise person just utilizes his wisdom to get a better job, to make more money, to obtain more and more wealth, given that that's not the currency for lasting happiness, what is the purpose, what is the advantage in being wise at all? And then on the other hand, he says, Uma le'oni yodea lehaloch neged hachayim. What's the poor person's disadvantage if he understands how to navigate the world? He's no worse off than someone who's accumulated so much wealth but doesn't know how to enjoy it. So wealth is clearly not the solution to life's problems. It doesn't bring contentment that has to come from within. Plus, One's soul will never be satiated from wealth because it's just the wrong currency. And then in Psukim Yud and Yud Aleph, Koheles discusses the final limitation with pursuing wealth, and that's the ultimate limitation, it's death. However successful a person is in life, nobody can overcome death. So in Pasuk Yud, Mashahoya Kvar Nikra Shemoi V'noida Ashehu Adam. According to Rashi and Mitzuda, man can do well, he can establish a great reputation for himself during his life. However, V'la Yuchal Lodin Im Shetakif Mimeno. However, he cannot contend with that which is stronger than him. His death proves that however successful he was, ultimately he's mortal. Nobody can overcome death. And then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kiyesh Devarim Harbeh Marbim Havel. There are so many things that we're fixated on accumulating in our life. Wealth, pleasure, power. And yet later on we realize that they're havel, that they're just futile. And as the Pasuk finishes, Ma Yoter La'adam. What benefit does it bring man? What of this remains for man after his death, says Rashi? How do any of these things that we spend our life pursuing benefit us after our death? So that's the ultimate limitation of wealth, is that after we die, there's nothing left and nobody can fight off death. And this brings to mind the story of Rothschild, which is very possibly apocryphal, that when Rothschild died, he left a dying wish that he wanted to be buried in a specific pair of socks. And the Chevra Kadisha, the burial society, said, not a chance. We only bury people in tachrichim, in special burial shrouds. Nobody can be buried in their socks. And his children begged and pleaded and fought, and they said that this was his dying wish, and he specifically asked for it. Please, will you honor his dying wish? And the Chevra Kadisha said, no way. We can't bury somebody in anything other than tachrichim. And then it came to his funeral, and he had left a letter to be read out at his funeral. And in the letter he said, my dear children, by now you will know that my wish to be buried in this specific pair of socks hasn't been honored. I want you to understand that however much wealth a person accumulates in his lifetime, however much honor, however much power, he can't even take with him a single pair of socks. And this leads Koheles to conclude in Pasuk Yud Beis. So based on all of this, what is good for man in his short, shadow-like, transient existence? And the chapter ends on this question that pretty much summarizes the whole perek, and it summarizes lots of the book up until this point. That given that life is so transient, and wealth and physical satisfaction doesn't provide intrinsic happiness, doesn't provide lasting meaning, and the ultimate limitation of certain death overshadows everything, where can one find meaning in life? How can one find meaning in life? Ki mi yodea ma tov la'adam b'chayim. Who can possibly know what's good for man in life? Misbar yemei chayei hevloi, in the short span of his futile existence, v'yaseim katzel, that he should consider like a shadow. What is good for man in life? And the Medrash tells us that this question, ma tov, is answered with the opening words of the next parak, which begins with the word tov. Thank you for studying together, le'ilui nishmas, Rose Foreman, Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.